let's wait for the commissioner to take a big bite and then we'll start. I'd like to welcome everyone to the work session for our June 4th, 2024 meeting. And our first item is a presentation on the Davis County Animal Care. So we'll turn it over to Commissioner Kamala.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. It's good to be in North Salt Lake every single time we get to come here. And we, of course, know many of you work with you, grateful for your contributions to our community, and especially just all of you in public service. It's such a big deal, and especially local government. It's really where it's at, I think. So I'm Laureen Kamalu. I'll kick it off, but I'll turn it over to Ashley. We have some handouts for you, especially the council. I know you have a little stack there. And on the top is the current Davis County, we call it the portfolio, where you can kind of see how we're organized. And you see all the three commissioners currently in office. And then below us, the people that we are liaisons to, the other elected officials, have their own responsibilities in state statute. So we're just supportive to them. And then we have our departments that we currently supervise, but all of those have their own director for the day-to-day operations. So really, we're supportive there too, but then we'll do their annual performance reviews. And then any other committees and extra that we have, you can see those there. So I think that's super helpful. A lot of people tell us it's super helpful just to know which commissioner's doing what, so that you can reach out to the right one. So I never had animal care up until last year. And so Ashley and I, of course, you know, commissioners need to know about everything, at least some, and vote on things. But now I get to work very closely with Ashley, and it's really a privilege to work with her. There's been kind of years past in the Davis County in animal care where they went through various directors and there were, you know, this or that difficult thing. And when Ashley became our director, you know, just a lot of that got solved and went away. She is by far the outstanding leader in that we've had. And she has worked very closely with all of the cities, which I know at least the city managers know that, but probably others of you also. Something that's not always known is that animal services is usually a city responsibility. And so the model that Davis County has had for a long time, decades, is kind of unique. But it makes a lot of sense where we're the smallest county in square miles and only 15 cities. Like, how ridiculous would it be and inefficient if all the cities had to figure that out? And so we've been able to work together with our cities. And this today is an update. And we just love that you can all know directly from us and we can answer your questions. And so that's why we're here. And then I'll turn it over to let Ashley get right into animal care specifically. Oh, she has a handout. She'll refer to that. And then the third one is actually, we're on our sixth city going around out of the 15 to visit in person. And right before we went to the first one, which was West Bountiful, this article came out like a couple days before. And it's a really big article that you can read, you know, after or whenever. And it was done by, I think it's a Deseret News article. Yeah. And it talks about the challenge of animal services around the country and how it's been really overwhelming for many places around the country during and since the pandemic. So it's a challenging operation, but we're super grateful for ours and how well it runs. So Ashley, take it away.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Kamalu. So as you should know by now, my name is Ashley. I'm the director for Animal Care of Davis County. I started at Animal Care in 2021. And as soon as I started, we kind of launched right into a really robust feasibility study that took almost 2 years to complete. And they did a full overview of our operations and also our need for a new shelter facility. That shelter facility has been a key part of my last, 4 years with animal care. And so with that today, I just wanted to provide an update of where we're at and kind of where we're headed to all of our cities. I'm going to talk about this blue little handout here. On the right-hand side, you're going to see our 2023 numbers. You can see Animal Care handled over 4,000 animals last year. We are pretty unique as a municipal shelter that we only take in animals that are from Davis County. So from our residents, from our taxpayers, those are the only animals that our organization serves. And of those 4,000, almost 2,000 were dogs, and a little over 2,000 were cats. And then our animal control officers, which I think has the biggest impact on our cities, responded to over 9,000 calls. So we're pretty hopping most days. We have a lot going on for our 10 full-time animal control officers in every jurisdiction. We do spend quite a bit of time out here in North Salt Lake as well. So with that, through our feasibility study, we did learn that our best option was building a new shelter. We looked at remodeling our current building, which was built almost 40 years ago. It's really important to note that animal control, animal care, and welfare has changed a lot in those last 40 years. When Animal Care of Davis County first opened, we were considered a catch-and-kill shelter. And so what that meant is animals were caught, they were held their legal stray time, and if an owner didn't come at that point, they were euthanized. I now can tell you that we're in our second year of being a no-kill animal shelter. And so what that means is that we have a live release rate that's over 90%. And we actually have one of the highest live release rates in the entire state, which is something we're really, really proud of. Live release rate. So that means that 90% or more, in our case more, animals that enter our facility have a positive outcome other than euthanasia. And so right now our live release rate sits around 95%, which is incredibly impressive for a municipal shelter with our facility, which we'll talk about, which we should talk about. So our facility, I mentioned it was built 40 years ago. Our current building is about 11,000 square feet. Through the feasibility study, based on the number of animals and the services we're providing, we're looking at a shelter facility that's going to be about 32,000 square feet. So we're going to three times the size. One of our most asked questions with cities is, where is that facility going to be? We do plan at this point to build up at our current site. And that facility, we have it right now at about $15 million to build that facility, and that is being funded by the capital fund through the county. So we are not asking residents or cities to contribute to that at all. The county is going to be funding that project, and staying up on our current lot saves us literal millions because we have a pretty big footprint that we need. It's also fairly convenient. In the feasibility study, they looked at times and distances to all of the different cities that we serve. North Salt Lake, of course, is one of the furthest away from us at about 20 minutes, but it's still pretty reasonable for our residents in North Salt Lake and also our animal control officers to respond. But the real reason that we're here today, we've talked a little bit about the shelter in the past. We are looking at a tax increase going through the truth and taxation process later this year in 2024. And that tax increase, that is for operational expenses. I already mentioned that the county is funding the shelter. So this is things for like positions to work in the new shelter that's three times the size, to make sure that we're able to answer our phones every time they ring, that we have resources for the pets in our care. Veterinary care is a huge problem for us right now, as it is for many pet owners. The cost of veterinary care has skyrocketed, and we currently do not have a veterinarian on our staff. So that's one thing that we are looking for through the tax increase. We're also looking for training and behavioral resources for the dogs and cats that enter our shelter that have more complex behavioral problems. And then just generally an increase for our operational expenses to operate the animal shelter. We haven't seen an increase in our budget since around 2017. And so the last couple years have been really, really tricky, and we've had to get very, very creative. And we're about out of wild, fun, creative ideas that work within our budget with the projects and programs that we're running. The second question that all of our cities have been asking us is, how much is the increase? I think that's the big question, right? And we are looking at $11 for the entire year for a typical household. So it is relatively small, and we do expect that that will take care of us for the next 5 to 7 years, which is what we should be looking at for tax increases for good tax policy. Did I forget anything? That was a lot of words.
You did great.
Okay, great. So with that, we are happy to answer any questions that you might have or feedback. I've heard North Salt Lake's having some issues with loose dogs in parks. We're on it, I promise. We'll take care of that. But anything else that we can answer for you guys, we're happy to.
Thank you for being here. I really appreciate the shelter in the county and am happy to work with them in the capacities that we can and that I do. I have a question about roadkill and how that's managed and where that's managed. There's a couple of sections of our city that are state-managed roads, and I'm wondering what, and if you can explain maybe the conflict that is created there.
Yeah, so currently we have animal control trucks. I hope that you've seen them. We do not have the ability, we don't have winches or anything like that to pick up deer or get deer into our vehicles. And it really is a Department of Wildlife responsibility. But I also know that, you know, they're short-staffed and underfunded and whatnot. Can't speak too much to that. But animal control, to my knowledge, has never picked up like deceased wildlife. We do respond out to deceased domestic animals, and we do respond out to like ducks and geese and things like that, smaller animals as well. But any of the bigger wildlife is Department of Wildlife.
What about raccoons?
What is that?
Raccoons.
You're hard-pressed there. The best thing a resident can do is shovel into the trash can if it's by someone's home. If it's on a main roadway, you can try Department of Wildlife. I don't know that they'll respond, and we typically do not either.
Okay. That's the kind of what I've seen as well. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you for being a volunteer up there. Davis County's volunteer program is giant and has received a gold recognition across the nation.
Utah U Serve.
Yeah, Ashley is now speaking as a guest of best practices through the state and the nation. So she'll never tell you that, but I tell it every time. Yeah, really proud. She's done a lot of amazing things.
I love that. I actually thought of one more question. When I go up and volunteer, that the frontline staff that are there are so wonderful, and I see that as a job for some humans that have such giant hearts and want to work in this field. My question is about salaries for those entry-line workers, and in your tax increase and the proposal of using that money, does that include not only additional employees to work in operations, but also considering if those frontline staff are really being paid well for the work that they're doing?
Yeah, so our HR department handles a lot of that. We do have like our COLA and merit raises in there that our staff get every year. But at this point, we are pretty competitive, if not more competitive than a lot of animal shelters. And we do regular studies on their pay. But I agree, they're not paid enough. And it is a very, very hard job to work at that front counter. Every single emotion you can imagine.
And I think so many times in society, we take humans that have these giant hearts and want to go serve, and then we take advantage of them by paying them almost nothing to do that thing. And I would love for that increase to also include that they're paid well to do something they're good at and that is needed and that we value.
Such a great comment. It used to be that some of those positions, I mean, you could make more at McDonald's, right? And we've pretty aggressively caught some things up in recent years. At least that's in my memory. And then like Ashley said, not every jurisdiction does every single year both merit and COLA. It would have to be a really horrible year if we didn't do a COLA, but that merit of up to 3.5% every year when there's not horrible inflation, it just even the merit, you know, kind of keeps up. But such a good question, and thank you for bringing that up. Yeah.
I have a couple quick questions, and thank you both for being here. Such needed and appreciated service to the county and to the cities. I'm glad you brought up the volunteer program. I was just wondering if we could get a quick overview on who is accepted to volunteer and maybe the restrictions. I'm also wondering when this new center is estimated to be finished or started.
Yeah, so we have our request for proposals for our contractor out currently, and those close on June 12th, so right around the corner. We do expect to break ground on the project this year. We're building on the side of a mountain, and so that can be pretty tricky working through. And so we don't have a firm end date on that. I would guess 1 to 2 years. It's a pretty sizable building, but we are looking at some prefab because it does lower the cost there. So that's still up in the air a little bit. With our volunteer program, there's really nothing at the shelter that our volunteers can't do. Anything from, you know, the not so fun things like dishes and laundry and helping clean kennels. One of our biggest roles that we have is walking dogs. So we're right by the Caseville Mountain Wilderness Trail, and we often have runners come up and they'll grab a dog and they'll go run on the trails. Or if you're not a runner, you can walk too. That's fine. The dogs don't mind. We also have a sniff about program where you can take the dog home with you for a few hours or to a different park in our community. We really do not have a lot of barriers. Any way we can get the community in and involved, we want to do that. I'd say the biggest barrier that we're working through right now is our age limit for volunteers. It is set at 16 years old, and that's just because our dogs, a lot of them, we don't have a history on them, and it can be a little bit of a liability with young kids and dogs that we just don't really know a lot about. We also have a very robust cat program. We have fosters who take tiny little less than a pound kittens home and raise them up until they're ready for adoption. You can come in and socialize with our kitties. We also have a lot of small
Council
animals.
Member Van Langeveld provides that volunteer.
I know. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Bottle babies, especially. That's the hardest job. They have to be fed like every couple hours. You're not getting any sleep. Wow. It's a big job. Yeah, so anyway, anything really you want to do, we're happy to get you involved, and we're there 7 days a week, and right now we have almost 1,000 volunteers from our community that come in to help the pets, so it's a big, great program.
I love that.
Anything more about the fostering?
Oh, anything more about the fostering? Fostering saves lives. So we have several hundred volunteers that take home both dogs and cats into their home, which empties kennels out in our shelter. So any animal that we can get out of the kennel, then we can fill it again. Right now, we're really, really full on dogs. We have puppies, big dogs, small dogs, old dogs, purebred dogs that just need a couch to chill on for a little bit of time until they get adopted. A typical stay for our dogs is 2 weeks that they'll be in your home before they find the adopter, and you get to meet the adopter and help pair them up. It's like a pretty cool experience. I foster dogs. We love dogs at my house, but cats are great too. And then right now is kitten season, so we have about 200 kittens in foster right now that don't have to stay in kennels. So great program. Community super supportive. We're having a great time almost every day.
Almost. Oh, I love that. And then what is your relationship with the Utah Humane Society? How does that work between municipal and corporate, I guess?
Yeah, so we definitely work with them. They have an excellent operation manager. Her name's Julie. And we share a lot of ideas and communicate a lot because oftentimes if we're experiencing some sort of struggle, they are as well. We actually went out for a tour to their facility. Utah Humane Society has one of the nicest, newest facilities. And so we went out there with the county leadership team just for a tour as we were thinking and planning our new shelter. And so we definitely have a relationship there. On occasion, they will pull or rescue animals from us and put them up for adoption in their facility. But they really focus on more rural animal shelters. And truly, we're doing pretty good compared to a lot of other shelters in the area that maybe don't get the foot traffic or the interaction with their community that we do.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, that was a good question. We sometimes get that, you know, why don't they come to Davis County? Well, they're kind of going where there's a greater need for help. Yeah, and they've totally told us that. Also, it's important to know that the building that has been kind of planned, but we still will get the architect and the contracting going with this RFP, is expected to serve for the build-out of Davis County, which, if you all know, are kind of around the $370,000 people right now, and then should fill in under $500,000. So we're pretty mindful if you kind of compare what it was built and how it's just not even at all what it needs to be for now. But the whole reason we took a whole year and a half on that study was to do it right for the future. So it could have more bells and whistles. We didn't choose. In fact, they really scaled it back from an original concept. But it's being built to be able to serve this county for decades to come. So we're really grateful about that. And we truly did save a lot of money by not having to buy land. Yeah, one commissioner was just really, really focused on other places And so it's good. We turned, you know, over possibilities, but nothing really was as good, and it certainly would have cost a whole bunch more money.
I did think of one more question as well. Do you have a spay and neuter program, or is that Utah Humane Society and others?
Yeah, so there is one. Well, actually, there's no low-cost spay and neuter clinics in Davis County now, but there is Pro Pet Care in Roy, and so that's really the only option here. We did talk with city managers and mayors about animal care providing spay neuter services at a low-cost rate because it is much needed in our community. And we were a little worried about stepping on business owners' toes or kind of getting involved in a private market. And so we will be, of course, continuing to provide spay-neuter for shelter animals, which is state law, but we will not be venturing into the publicly owned pets.
I like that. Thanks.
Yeah.
I have another question about volunteers. It's my perception that there are plenty of volunteers. Is that accurate, or are volunteers an area of growth that you're looking for?
Volunteers are definitely an area of continued growth. I don't think we can ever have enough volunteers. It's like my dream that dogs aren't actually in kennels. That's like the ideal world, right? So we're not there yet. We definitely have open like dog walking positions that we want to fill. We ask for a 6-month commitment. Don't always get it, but that's what we ask for, to be scheduled regularly so we can kind of plan and know what our staff needs to do versus the dogs, because we don't want them in their kennels all day. It's just not good for their mental well-being. So that's definitely an area. And then if you're on the foster group, you can see that Pam, our volunteer coordinator, is constantly begging for fosters for kittens. Up until a couple years ago, we were sending all of our kittens out to rescue groups. And so in the last couple years, we've taken on that responsibility of finding outcomes for them that aren't just our rescue partners. And so that's been a big burden that we're still kind of walking through to see what that looks like.
From the end user, it feels like that's going really well. I feel like the kittens get snatched up pretty quick when they get posted.
They do.
Is there any role that the city could play in helping to recruit volunteers for you? Is there information that we could share on our social media or in our newsletters or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. We are very, very active on social media. I think we have like 15,000 followers. I don't know. We have a lot of followers out there. So anything that we can share on social media about volunteer roles, or even we often place dogs that might be harder to adopt or have been with us for a while, that would be very, very helpful. And then we do have flyers if there's space, you know, in parks or anything like that. That would be helpful to us for sure.
All right. Well, thank you for coming. And we look forward to the new facility and another 50 years of animal care.
Yes, with me and Ashley leading the way. We sure appreciate you again here in Salt Lake, and reach out anytime. Some of you have my cell phone. Anyone can have my cell phone. So if you have a question and you want a good source, I'll either be that source or I'll probably know who to point you to. So thank you again. We sure appreciate you. Have a good night. Thanks for feeding us. I'm going to be eating this after I leave this table.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item is a monthly financial report. Heidi.
Thank you, Mayor. In your packets is the summary and detailed financial report for the period ended April 30th, 2024. We are 83% through the fiscal year. Revenues are 72% collected. Oops, I jumped ahead too fast there, but revenues are 72.2% collected and expenses are 80.3% expended. I was hoping at this meeting to be able to present some information on property valuations. They come out really close to this time of the year. The assessor's office at the county is still working through those numbers, and I think we should have those towards the end of the week. So absent current year data, I did put together some information from the last year's report from the county assessor. And this... That's okay. This somewhat goes in line with the theme that we've been looking at, is where are our major economic sectors here in North Salt Lake? We looked at sales tax, manufacturing, vehicle sales, equipment rentals being a major source on that side of things. For property tax, I wanted to take a look at personal property values and really our dependence and what that does to our tax base here in North Salt Lake. So in 2023, countywide, there were almost $3.6 million of personal property value of businesses across from one end of the county to the other. And interestingly enough, outside of the unincorporated area, North Salt Lake held 12% of that value, just under West Bountiful. And clearly, this is related to our refineries. But what's important about personal property as such a large percent of our property tax revenues is that it spreads that tax burden from residential. We know that that's clearly commercial, coming from our commercial tax base. And so that it just kind of changes the makeup of our tax base here, which is a little just going to be different than some of the other cities. You think of the businesses in Layton, Clearfield, all the other cities combined make up the other 13% for personal property tax revenues. So it really is a strong area for us. So when we see those building permits come in and they're these big industrial buildings that are going to have big equipment, that's why Sherry and I are kind of looking at each other and thinking, I know what this means. This is a boost for us. This is what we do here. And it's part of our identity. So just wanted to present that, and then hopefully with the May finance report, we will have valuation numbers, or even when we go to adopt the final budget at the next city council meeting, we'll have the certified tax rate. And so that will certainly be based on the values from January 1 of this year. Were there any questions on any of the financial information?
I have a question. Go ahead, Ted.
Okay, thank you. First of all, thank you for the insight on the personal property values. That's really interesting and helpful to kind of understand who we are. And this is not intended to nitpick, but it's just in case there's, I don't know, a story there. But I was looking at the monthly financial report, and a couple of lines I found interesting and didn't know if there was something to mention. One of them is that golf debt is low this year relative to last year. I didn't know if that had something to do with construction or something. I think this year we're 29% of our budget, and last year we were at this time we were 66% of our budget, and we had, so $300,000 debt this year and $2 million change last year. And
so that's going to be the construction. That's the use of the construction funds. Yep, okay. On the clubhouse. We do still have some of those funds and are expending those. Tyler's programming some of that in the upcoming budget as well.
I thought that might be the construction. And then the other one was the housing line item, where the year-to-date revenue on that special revenue fund housing is just 12%. It's very low. And I didn't know if there was something about how that money comes in or anything like that.
I believe the money from the housing fund comes in through the RDAs, so tax increment, which we receive in April. And I don't believe the distribution takes effect until May. So you'll see then a true up. So it's the timing difference between the 2 years of when that's recognized, would
Thank
be my
you.
Guess.
Okay, I have a question about that personal property graph.
Oh, sure.
Can you go back to the circle graph? Yes. Okay. So what if I'm reading this properly, of the amount that is contributed to the county under personal property values, 42% of the total value comes from unincorporated areas. And so on another way of explaining, and let me start over. There are refineries that are in unincorporated area, obviously a major portion of that. Were they to be within a city limit, would the cities also then benefit from the tax revenue, or would all of that revenue go straight to the county?
The city would then benefit from that. That valuation would be added to the North Salt Lake. If we were to annex the Chevron refinery?
Yes.
That's in the county. But an interesting thing about that, coming from the county side and having worked at the county, is every time we looked at what would happen if that property were to move to North Salt Lake, is the fire district is very much based on property valuation, and our fees that we, an annual assessment that we pay to the fire district would increase. So it would almost be almost a direct offset. So that additional revenue that would come in through personal property would then have to be paid to that assessment that we pay every year.
So, and this is a question to others that may know the answer to this. It's not necessarily to put you on the spot. When the chief from the fire department was here, just, I think 2 weeks ago, we talked for a minute about the refineries, and he had stated that the refineries have within themselves their own fire. And so that wouldn't change, though, if they incorporated within the city, far as I understand.
It wouldn't. It's a requirement.
The next question, when we were talking about annexation a couple of years ago, it came to my attention, and anyone with a longer history with the city, please help me or give me some more history about it, that there was a time that the Chevron refinery was in North Salt Lake, and then there was a motion to move it to unincorporated county. And I'm wondering if anyone knows anything about that, and especially why, like what the arguments were around that.
Ken probably knows the correct answer. My recollection is they were part of the city. They were doing a major expansion. They wanted to avoid taxes, so they left the city, and the county was happy to take them because they could get their tax revenue from it. So we felt a little bruised about it.
Yeah. I know a little history on this. Around 2010, I think, Chevron was doing a big expansion in their own project. And at the time when that happens, we could ask for them to be annexed in. And I was on the council the first time and thought to myself, this would be good to bring them into our city. Mayor Schaefermeyer didn't like the idea at all, and Mike Nielsen, who was our city attorney, went and presented to the tax commissioners there, and they didn't make the effort to annex at the time. I don't know really what the policy was. It may have just been, you know, being friendly with Davis County. I don't know exactly, but there was an opportunity not long ago, 20 years ago, to do it.
They were in the city in my time on the council, because I remember when they left. Am I wrong there?
Well, so I began working in 2010. They were already out of the city then, so.
Stan brought his pen card in.
Yeah, you were on the council when I was hired.
And so. Is this an annexation policy area for us, or no? Okay.
It also, for me, given the conversations we had with the county last year about annexation, it feels interesting that the county feels no push to have this unincorporated area annexed, whereas they were real eager for other areas to be annexed. Thank you. That added good information. There might be more information available.
Thank you. Were there any other questions on the financial report?
While you're up there, why don't you talk a little bit about annual fraud risk assessment, too?
Thanks. I was hoping you would ask. So along with the requirement to present a monthly financial report and, of course, prepare our audited financial statements, back in 2020, the State Auditor's Office required all municipalities to do an annual self-assessment of our risk, or how we would rate our risk for fraud, waste, and abuse. And it's really specifically those three areas. We have scored the same the last 3 years. We are in the very lowest category possible, which is very low risk. We've scored 365 out of 395. And the three things that we could do to get a full score, if we want an A, I guess, on this, would be to implement two new policies, one which would be related to IT and computer safety, and then another one which would probably be we already have but not documented and brought before council to approve, but something related to cash receipting and deposits. We already oversee that and have procedures, but to formalize that a little bit. The biggest one would be formalizing an internal audit function. And I can tell you the Utah Government Finance Officers Association is trying to work out a way for smaller entities to get that internal audit function without having to hire somebody bigger entities, like Davis County has a full-time internal auditor that goes to the different areas and just reviews their processes for areas where there might be some lapse, where somebody could potentially engage in fraudulent activity. And so we're looking at a way to do some type of mutual aid entities that have those resources for smaller organizations. But for now, we're pretty, for the city of our size, our score on this fraud risk assessment and our ability to have a formal internal audit function is pretty typical of what you would expect.
I've brought this up in the past, but I don't lose sleep over IT, but almost. Just seems like the world is very vulnerable. And, I've had this conversation, we back up every night. But I recently heard about, I don't know if it's a Trojan horse or whatever, but they put it into the system and wait a year and then wipe out everything. And so your backup, unless you got a backup going way back, and then everything in that year's gone. And it just seems like it's a question of when, not if. And
well, I know we do receive quarterly assessments that are run through the trust, actually. They have copies of all of our IP addresses. We're required now to complete a very extensive IT survey every year to get our policy renewal, letting them know all of the connections to our servers, what those security levels are, and then they give us an assessment, like I said, quarterly of where, if we've experienced any risks. And I do think that this would be an area that we have probably more practices in place, we just haven't documented them. So it would probably be fairly easy to put together a policy of what we are doing now and then maybe look at a way of expanding that. And I think that's one of the things that I put in the memo. We do have a formal audit committee. That would be a really great area for the audit committee to come together and look at how we take what we're doing now and maybe improve it and make it better as far as best practices. Where's the return on our investment on some of these things? It could be really costly as far as the programs to monitor computers. I'm sure ETS would be happy to take as an extensive as a stance as possible to monitor things, but really finding that middle ground that works with our budget would be helpful, I think, and some feedback from that committee looking at what's possible would be a good thing.
So I will say this about ETS. We pay for some fairly robust software that protects our network and all of our workstations and computers. We did that about 3 years ago, and it's a strong system. It's not perfect. I won't say it's perfect because it isn't. And then we recently, the state of Utah has recently offered at no cost to all public agencies, additional software, and so ETS is implementing that on our behalf. So the other thing we could do is we could certainly have ETS come and take some time in a work meeting and give us a presentation on how safe we are or how at risk we are.
Do we use the two-step authentication?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That seems pretty hard to get around.
Yeah.
But, okay.
We may have weakness. IT is not my area of expertise.
Yeah, mine either.
We're discussing it all the time with ETS, and as Heidi mentioned, the trust does pretty extensive looking at all of their clients who have insurance. We are insured against malware and if somebody from the outside was able to take us hostage, at least it would be inconvenient, but we have insurance to cover any losses that occur from that. So,
okay.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Why don't we take a few minutes and approve the minutes or something before we break. Were there any corrections to the May 21st minutes?
Mayor, do you want someone to make a motion to approve the minutes?
If there are no corrections, let's please.
Okay. I move that the City Council approve the minutes of the May 21st, 2024 meeting as written.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Those are approved. Let's go through action items as well. Ted, you're in the spotlight. Do you have anything on action items?
I wanted to just check in and see if there's any, you know, next steps. Pardon me, next steps on the Highway 89 agreement with UDOT. What is the next thing on that one?
We have an expert who's going to answer that question for you.
So I'm currently working with Karen to finalize the cross-section drawing that we want to propose to UDOT. We've had Allie reach out to find out who's taken the place of Chris Chestnut because he's moved to another position, and we're going to set up a meeting. So we hope to have that sometime within the next month or so to have that meeting.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the action item list?
I just have one. I think it might have been answered a few weeks ago, but I apologize. I forgot the date or the timeline for the tree installation going up Eagle Ridge.
So we'll be talking about that at the next council meeting. We haven't made a decision on that yet,
great.
But we'll be presenting that to you.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have two things at least. On item number three, under the new options, I would love to also be listed as a council member that's involved in that UTA bus in Foxborough, along with council member Knowlton. And then with the Discover Davis Mural program, which is item number one under the current action items, I would just like to recommend or remind that the staff takes this over and does such a fantastic job, but just to make sure that we continue to include Camille in that process, this is something she's really passionate about.
Okay. Anything else? Let's go ahead and adjourn. We actually could start on time tonight.
Wow.
Reconvene at 7 o'clock.